This is the single best piece of advice anyone ever gave Tessa Skinner about raising her son, Corey.
Treat Corey like a regular baby. Although he may have special needs, he's still a baby. And that's what I did.
Corey was born with cerebral palsy, or CP. CP is a neurological disability affecting movement and coordination. CP has slowed Corey's speech. It has twisted and tangled his limbs, putting him in a wheelchair for life. But CP has not touched Corey's mind, which Tessa nurtured from birth. That at 15, Corey can't turn the pages of a book and can read and speak Mandarin Chinese, Tessa says, has been hard for Boston Public Schools to embrace.
Unfortunately, there's still people out there that just don't understand. And they don't understand that these kids are smart.
Tessa is a single mom. She stopped studying accounting at Roxbury Community College to care for Corey when he was born. 2 years later, Corey's dad died from a brain tumor. Corey started public school in a special education classroom. By fifth grade, Corey was reading at a 10th grade level. It took Tessa a lawsuit and the better part of Corey's sixth grade year to convince the district to provide Corey the full-time aid that allowed him to move out of special ed into mainstream classes.
A lot of the school district or school system would like to keep special needs. I don't think a lot of the teachers out there really know how to handle a special needs child, or they're scared.
Corey did so well in the mainstream that he applied for and earned a spot in one of Boston's three elite exam schools for a seat in the ninth grade. It was an extraordinary accomplishment. He began his freshman year this past September at the John D. O'Brien School of Math and Science. Trouble followed soon after. Corey's teachers didn't receive his individualized education plan, or IEP, for months. That meant he wasn't allowed extra time to get to class, as the IEP specified, nor did he receive extended time on tests. Weekly meetings with physical and occupational therapists never took place. Most important, the school didn't provide Corey the laptop computer and voice-activated software he requires to produce written work, again as mandated by the IEP. Tessa bought a laptop and software with her own money, but Corey can't access the internet at school or get assignments from home. The school laptop hasn't arrived to this day. The guidance counselor called Tessa in late September to say that Corey was failing academically.
They told me Corey isn't doing well at all, and Corey isn't doing the assignments, and they didn't think Corey could handle the school. They keep telling me it's an exam school, and they don't think Corey is right.
The guidance counselor promised that teachers would follow the IEP, but Tessa says nothing changed. Corey fell farther behind and grew despondent. One day he failed to take a quiz based on an assignment he says he didn't know about. Corey broke down in tears and expressed to the class and his teacher that he didn't want to live. In response, the school called a meeting to assess Corey's emotional fitness to continue at O'Brien.
I got a call from Tessa asking me to come to an unscheduled meeting.
That's Dee Spingston. She directs Urban Pride, a nonprofit community resource center in Boston that offers free training and support for low-income families with disabled children.
And it became clear Corey was having, I guess for lack of a better term, some emotional issues around being at the O'Brien, which frankly was shocking. I mean, it's rare that you meet a more together kid, even emotionally, okay?
Spingston had helped Corey move out of special ed. She's advocated for him for years. Spingston accompanied Tessa and Corey to the meeting.
Perhaps not all of them, but most of them said something to the effect, well, and you know, we know kids are bright, and they're, you know, but lots of kids are bright, but this is an exam school. And so the expectations are very high, and maybe it's just too much. At another point, a teacher actually went over to Corey and asked him or said to him, you know, it's really okay if you think that dealing with this level of academic challenge and your disability is too much. Maybe you need to be at another school.
Spingston says she stopped the meeting. She says she reminded everyone that Corey had tested into the school just like every other student in the building. She wanted to know where his IEP and laptop were.
There is absolutely no question that this child can function academically in that setting with the supports that he requires to do so. There is not any question.
Despite repeated requests to respond to these allegations, the school district declined to comment. Media Relations Director Matthew Wilder wrote by email that the exam schools educate students with disabilities, but he wouldn't specify whether others in the schools are in wheelchairs, citing student confidentiality. Assistant Superintendent for High Schools Irvin Scott would say only that it is the goal of Boston Public Schools to support every student to ensure their success despite ability or disability. For his part, Corey says he used to love school, but now he hates it. He blames himself. Adolescent self-doubt is never in short supply. Tom Hare thinks the doubts Corey expresses are heightened because his teachers and his school aren't supporting him.
I think any kid would be depressed in that situation.
Hare is a disability expert and Harvard professor who served as the U.S. Department of Education's Special Education Director under the Clinton administration. He says his research and experience show that too many schools leave kids like Corey without basic accommodations and then blame them for their failure.
The notion that you don't belong because we haven't done what we should do as adults is terrible. It just shouldn't be happening in this country. These laws have been in place for 30 years that protect this boy and give this boy the rights to the accommodations he needs to be successful in school.
Once students are given the accommodations they need, Hare says, they succeed to the best of their abilities. In Corey's case, says Urban Pride's Dee Spinkston, he needs the laptop and the software, and then he needs help connecting with other kids at lunch and after school so he doesn't feel like an outsider. Tessa, Corey's mom, wishes she didn't have to fight so hard to get Corey what he needs. And that, Advocate Dee Spinkston says, is what federal law mandates.
All right, so we have the law, and the law is great. But the law can't change hearts and minds.
Tessa learned early to treat Corey like a regular kid. She's been fighting for 15 years to get the rest of the world to change heart and follow suit. Those with firsthand experience with disability rights and special education law say that many such bright disabled kids fall between the cracks. Tessa isn't about to let that happen. She will not allow anyone to see Corey's wheelchair instead of seeing Corey. For WGBH, I'm Kathy Corman in Boston.